At the sound of this tone, please proceed to the next slide.
Welcome. My name is Joseph Morris, and for those of you who didn't read the flyer or see the poster before wandering in, I will be discussing the advantages and disadvantages of self-publishing. I am a prospective author. I am one of maybe hundreds of thousands of individuals who enjoy placing creative wit and wonder onto paper and have stretched forth their hands to make marvelous works. And many, if not most of us, have come up against the unknowns of publishing and faltered. Despite having dabbled in the writing of several fantasy novels and starting the groundwork for another set of seven sci-fi, as well as a series that will blend the two genres, I find myself lacking in confidence in the face of this unfamiliar territory known as publishing. Frequently, I have stared at the mounds of my meticulously measured words with a mingling of melancholy and merriment as I have pondered attempting to publish my books now or ever. And if so, what would be the best route to take? Should I take the seemingly well-trodden traditional road down to the publisher's office, only to face possible scrutiny and rejection, or should I take the road less traveled and publish them myself? Although this experience is my own, my situation is nowhere near unique. Budding authors near and far are encountering the same questions, especially with self-publishing on the rise as a viable alternative to conventional publishing. What once was seen as the sad, desperate actions of unaccepted authors is shifting itself towards being mainstream, with the advent of digital publishing and websites that facilitate such. Even many prominent commercial authors are attempting self-publishing in order to gain more control over their works and a higher percentage of the revenue from their sales. Ultimately, not only is self-publishing becoming a viable alternative to commercial publishing, but a better alternative altogether. Although heartstrong authors may claim that writing is about sharing knowledge, stories, and enjoyment with other souls, the primary purpose of publishing is to make money. In order for an author to live to write, an author must first write to live. Unfortunately, royalties from commercial publishing of physical books hovers around a dismal 10% of retail price. So if an author is lucky enough to sell 10,000 books at $15 a cover, he or she only makes $1.50 each, which comes out to $15,000. That is not much, especially if the writer does not have a day job, and this is the entire income for the year. Fortunately, this is where both self-publishing and the digital age immediately show off their enticing appeal. Lulu and Draft to Digital, for example, are self-publishing and distribution services. Publishing a physical book through Lulu costs about $8.50 for the manufacturing of it, with royalties being 80% of the price above that. So if an author sells the book for $15, he or she will earn $5.20, or 35% of the retail price. If the author sells 10,000 books, that is a decent income of $52,000. Basically making three times what commercial publishing would have netted. That is an amazing financial increase, but self-publishing can go a step further. With the dawn of the digital age has come the birth, awkward teenage years, and finally adulthood of books in an electronic format, aka e-books. With e-books, most costs of publishing are thrown out the window. There is no material, no printing press, no physical transport of truckloads of bound literature, no warehouse to store pallets of unsold books, and no middleman to pay to take care of all these steps. Rejection letters are also non-existent because e-books are a form of self-publishing. But why would mainstream publishers even consider allowing this unfiltered acceptance of literary material? Because, due to the lack of physical components, the publisher does not have any significant monetary investment in the author's book. They host it on a server, display it in their database, and if it sells, they both make money. Barnes & Noble's Nook Press is one such service. Royalties for an ebook priced between $2.99 and $9.99 in the Nook store are 65% of retail. So at $9.99, the author gets $6.49 per sale. 10,000 sales would net the author $64,935. This is more than the revenues the author would have earned from the physical copies sold at a 50% higher price. If self-publishing pays so much more, why do so many authors use commercial publishers? There are two main reasons. They could be uncomfortable with the idea of entering an unfamiliar territory, albeit one that gives them more control and responsibility over their work, and/or they avoid it due to its traditionally derogatory stigma as the last resort for the unsuccessful. However, this stigmatism is quickly fading as prominent authors and floods of new ones test the self-publishing waters with relative success. The biggest concern for authors seeking to earn a living through publishing is being able to reach out to their audience in order to make that money. Traditionally, this would have been done solely through brick-and-mortar stores, but according to Jim Milliot of Publishers Weekly, in 2013, bookstore chains accounted for 22% of the market share, whereas online outlets accounted for 41% of book purchases, and that percentage keeps rising. Although 59% of readers still walk into a store to buy a book, that number is slowly diminishing in favor of ebook retailers. Of these online sales, the market share is mostly divided up between Amazon with 74%, Apple with 12%, Barnes & Noble with 8%, Kobo with 4%, and Google Play with 2%. Essentially, the writer can potentially reach 3/4 of the ebook market with some strategic marketing, and by listing their books solely with Amazon. If they decide to expand beyond just Amazon, some self-publishing services like Lulu and Draft2Digital will include Apple, Barnes & Noble, and Kobo in their ebook distribution lists for a 10% fee. To avoid that fee, authors can attempt to upload to each site individually in exchange for some struggles and headaches. According to Author Earnings, independent or indie publishers are not only on the rise, but they are starting to overtake the traditional market share of the biggest 5 commercial publishers. That said, only 41% of all books that are sold are ebooks. That means 59% of all books sold are of the physical variety. In the end, commercial publishing still seems to have a larger audience than self-published ebooks could ever hope to reach. Although it is true that authors can have self-published books printed, this usually falls into the category of POD, or print-on-demand. These books will thankfully not take up any warehouse space, but will also sadly not appear on bookstore shelves because they only get printed when someone asks for a copy. Getting a printed self-published book onto a store shelf is nigh impossible, as it requires the author to submit the book through the same picky process that the commercially published ones go through. On the bright side, though, this pickiness only applies to those bookstore chains that control 22% of the market. The other 37% of book sales are done through independent stores. Many, if not most of these, allow people in the store to browse online catalogs and order indie POD books. 37% plus 41% equals 78%. That is not so bad after all, is it? In the case of both self-published and commercially published authors, if the book is not on the store's display stand, it is not getting much exposure. So, just having the book on the store shelves is not nearly enough to get it noticed or sold. The writer still needs to advertise the book in every way he or she can possibly imagine, so that people know it exists. Basically, no exposure means no sales, even if the book is commercially published. This requires writers to find their audience, whether they are family, friends, or an online community, and sell themselves hard. Push the book and hopefully the targeted audience will bite, and like the book enough to start talking about it. While the task of self-promotion is daunting for self-publishers, it seems to be working quite well. In fact, one of the common methods for authors to use to increase awareness is to create a web page for their works to be displayed and for their followers to congregate. This helps authors generate the communities that they are trying to sell to, simplifying their lives greatly. Advertising is not the only task independent authors have to take upon themselves. They also need to obtain an ISBN, commission cover art, and format their book before converting it into an ebook format. This can initially seem overwhelming, making commercial publishing appear to be the easy road, since these would have been taken care of for the author in exchange for a cut of the profits. Although tempting, retaining those profits is the main reason self-publishers go through all the work to begin with. They are investing in their future bank accounts by enduring some tedious work in the present. According to the article Why Buy an ISBN on myidentifiers.com, ISBNs are required for each version of a book. That means one is needed for softbound, one for hardbound, and one for each digital version that is made as well. The ISBN agency for the U.S., Bowker, currently sells them on myidentifiers.com for $125 apiece, or $295 for a 10-pack, or $575 for 100. ISBNs help a book get tracked and found, and according to Jane Friedman, a longtime expert from the publishing industry, books cannot get into some book databases without one. Alternatively, many websites like Draft2Digital will actively invest in the book by assigning it an ISBN free of charge when it gets published through them. Cover art is essentially for drawing readers in, because many people initially judge a book by its cover, regardless of whether they claim to or not. Designing and or commissioning cover art can be difficult if the author does not know what works. Friedman also says a book needs something simple that is easily recognizable in a variety of sizes and digital formats, including color and black and white. If the author is not up for personally creating it, Freelancer.com and DeviantArt are good places to find someone who can, as there is a large amount of artistic talent residing in those locations. Now that the author has an ISBN and a book cover, all that is left is to do the painstaking job of formatting the book into a model fit for conversion to a digital format. According to Friedman, the two most popular ebook formats are EPUB and Mobi. According to Chris Robley in his online guide, How to Format an Ebook, these two can be further subdivided into two styles, which he refers to as the standard ebook and the fixed layout ebook. He denotes that the major difference between the two styles is the allocation of control. The fixed layout puts the author in complete control of their work. They can set up how each page looks, where illustrations are in relation to text, what font they like, or even choose a background color. On the reverse side of things, the standard style gives the readers relative control. They can endlessly tweak font and text size in order to fit their device, or to match their unique preference, and the words will automatically adjust their location to compensate for the alterations in spacing. Robley mentions that this flexibility greatly increases the device compatibility of a book, making it readable regardless of the size of their screen. Not only do self-publishing authors have to decide which style would best fit their work, they also need to personally reformat their Word document to specific guidelines in order to prepare it for conversion to an ebook. According to Robley, a few of those tweaks for the standard format would include reformatting of paragraphs to have an auto-indent, adjusting the margins to be equal, changing the justification of text to left or center, and making sure the font is generic and uniform. If authors want to use the fixed layout style, they have to learn to use special software or pay someone else to do it for them. After the standard style formatting is complete, the writer feeds the document into whatever EPUB conversion program is available. Most self-publishing sites supply their own software, or the author can search for others on the web. If they do look for their own, Friedman recommends Calibre or Sigil. Once the book has become an ebook, the author should look through it to make sure that everything is in order. If it is not, the writer will most likely need to make a few editing adjustments and then attempt conversion again. If everything is in order, then congratulations, the wordsmith has just made his or her first ebook, but could have avoided all this work by simply going through a commercial publisher. That is why the author must continue to remember that they are investing in themselves, laboring now in order to reap the rewards later on. Some people might note that self-publishing seems to be quite a bit harder than commercial publishing, especially for first-time authors. For the most part, that is true. Most of the effort with commercial publishing would be selling the book idea to a publisher, which could take years if the author is new to the scene. The publisher then takes care of all trivialities. After that, the author has to sell the book idea to the masses, which can also take years if the author is new. Conversely, with self-publishing, the first step is skipped, and the second step is replaced with the work the commercial publisher would have done for the author, namely self-editing, getting an ISBN and obtaining some cover art, and publishing the book. Although it takes time for authors to accomplish these things on their own, by skipping that first step, they can potentially save years of frustration. The final step is the same for both routes. The author attempts to market the finished product to the prospective audience. The only real difference between the two methods is that the first requires the prospective author to go on a quest for approval from the literary gatekeepers, and the other requires the author to do the little things the commercial publisher would have done for him or her. Thus, self-publishing is not harder per se, just slightly different. Depending on their priorities, some authors might prefer one to the other, or vice versa. In the end, though, all that matters is appealing to the literary masses. It should be said that being published commercially or independently will not guarantee that books will be liked, even if the marketing generates a lot of exposure. Some books will just never sell well because people do not like them for one reason or another, or it could be that the author has not waited long enough. Emily Dickinson, Edgar Allan Poe, and H.P. Lovecraft are a few examples of great post-mortem success. One can only assume that most authors would prefer not to wait that long. Even though it is slightly more labor-intensive, self-publishing is definitely becoming not only a viable alternative to commercial publishing, but a better alternative altogether. That does not mean it is for everybody, though. Many prospective authors may prefer more hand-holding in the beginning and thus seek commercial publishing at first, but eventually strike out on their own once they have generated a sizable following. Others may not want to deal with the chance of blatant rejection from the gatekeepers of the literary world and prefer to skip to the good part, where they can market to their potential readers. On the other hand, there are those who prefer to just stick with commercial publishing and not deal with the responsibilities entailed by doing it themselves. Eventually, though, it makes monetary sense to branch out into self-publishing. In fact, many prominent authors are considered hybrid authors, publishing through both channels simultaneously. Many authors may dislike the idea of commercial publishing due to the low revenue generated, but for new authors who are lucky enough to get accepted, it can deliver the push start they need to find success. On the flip side, the reoccurring theme from forums of people who were actively publishing books themselves was that an author should independently publish through Amazon's website and also through a multiple distribution service, like draft-to-digital, simultaneously. This strategy of attack offered the most control and service fidelity, combined with the greatest effective reach available. Either way, the author will need to work on their marketing skills, or pay someone else to do it for them, if they ever intend for their books to become popular. I will now open the floor to questions from the audience.